And we are recording on the WebEx.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
All right, so I don't need to do this.
That's correct.
Are we recording?
We are recording on the WebEx.
So, I just asked, you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Can you identify yourself for the record?
Tim Mazzucco, Board of Land Bank Board.
Okay. So, I just asked the Board of Land Bank Board today, there are two planting seasons each year.
Yeah.
I asked them, what are the two planting seasons each year? And you said,
April 1st to June 15th.
Is one planting season, and the second?
September 1st to November
15th. So, if the board, Mr. Sharma wants an extra year to do the landscape planting for financial reasons, correct? But the board doesn't have to agree to that. The board can, but it doesn't have to. If the board didn't want to agree to that, if the board is inclined to grant the extension from condition 8, that's getting the permanent CO to May 28th. In my opinion, if the landscaping was screening of the addition to the wraparound porch in the front because it needed a setback variance, the board could say, you need the landscaping done by June 15th. So that would be the end of the first landscape season. Because if you go past if you go past June to September, it's like a dead period, it's too hot. Mm-hmm. And then November to April, it's too cold.
So here'd be my proposal to the other board members. Go till November of next year. That's a year from now to do the planting. And he's indicated that most of the work on the residence is done. Doesn't have the paperwork, but it can start on the landscape, and a year from now would sort of be in keeping with the spirit of the original resolution, which was a year after you've got it done, you got to get the landscape done.
So, let me just make sure. So what you're saying is you're suggesting that condition 3B, the landscaping, be extended to November 15th, 2023.
I would say November 28th, a year from now.
Okay. Even though the November 20th, is that right? Okay.
That's up to, I mean, if his planter says it needs to be done by the 15th, yes, that's up with him and the planter.
November,
so, how do board members feel about that?
I think it provides him with two more planting seasons in which to complete the requirements.
Sharon, you like that?
It seems like he's got a punch list to finish to get the CO, and two planting seasons should be more than enough.
Heidi, you like that?
Yes.
Tom, you good at that? Mr. Sharma, can you live with that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I think that answers the open question. So could I have a resolution, please, to grant extension of time, and I'm just going to say this once more for the record, CO by May 28th of 2023. Well, CO by May of 23.
Correct. Sorry, May 28th, 2023.
Landscape by November 28th of 24. 23, yeah. And then septic by May of 27.
May 28, 2027.
Correct. Or the most, or if you sell the house.
If you sell the house, it comes first, and there's a condition that's right, imposed until and unless the new and large septic system size for a 5-bedroom dwelling is installed, applicant shall not use more than 3 bedrooms in the dwelling.
Right.
Yep.
All right. Have a resolution to that effect, please.
Make a motion.
And a second?
Second.
Okay. Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Ms. Rohrbaugh?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay.
Okay.
Good luck,
Mr. Sharma.
We say to you every time. Hope we don't see you back here again.
I'm happy you're getting the addition finished. So good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, public hearing, OSJ Clinton. Applicant is seeking amended minor site plan approval and C variance approval to install a second freestanding sign along the site's Route 31 north frontage. Mr. Gruenberg, good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Stephen Gruenberg, attorney in Flemington, on behalf of the applicant, OSJ of Clinton, New Jersey, LLC. This is our application to essentially put the second freestanding sign on the property for the OSJ of Clinton, New Jersey property, Ocean State Dock Lot, and the fitness center is located on that property. The reason why we're here is because this board previously granted D4 variance relief, and because in the prior resolution you granted D4 variance relief, the Board of Adjustment has continuing jurisdiction on site plan issues. So this is our application for minor site plan with two C variances. The first C variance is from section 165-109N1A to permit a second freestanding identification sign when only one is permitted. And the second C variance is from section 165-109N1D1 to permit a right-of-way setback for that sign of 5 feet, where 15 feet is required. We previously provided in advance of this meeting proof of service and publication of the notice of hearing. I just need to confirm that the board has jurisdiction to proceed. And I do have three witnesses this evening. Paul Sturbins, professional engineer, Maurice Rached, professional engineer, who is our traffic expert, and Daniel Block, professional planner, who will provide the planning testimony. I don't know if you would like them all to be sworn at once.
I'm going to get everyone sworn, including the board experts. So, everyone he mentioned, you can come up to the table, and the two board experts. Everyone raise their right hands, because everyone swear or affirm the testimony is going to give this matter the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Yes, I do.
I do.
Okay. Start down there with Mr. Rached.
Maurice Rached, that's R-A-C-H-E-D.
And you are a PE, and you are the applicant's traffic engineering expert, correct?
That's correct.
Daniel Block, B-L-O-C-H, the planner for the applicant.
Paul Sturbins, S-T-E-R-B-E-N-Z, and they'll be testifying.
The applicant civil engineer, right?
Jim Azuko, L-A-Z-Z-U-C-T-O, Board of Landscape Architects.
Tom Barons, P-E-H-R-E-N-S, Board of Landscape.
And I forgot to swear in Larry. Larry, can Larry hear us?
Yes, he can.
Is Larry needed for this application?
It's not scheduled.
Okay, not do a technical. Okay, so we're not going to swear him in.
Okay. Hey, just one thing. Denise, it just occurred to me, I'm not sure how well the sound is picking up on the phone. Maybe you should be running your phone recorder, too.
Okay.
We'll see how, in case this doesn't work out quite as well as we had hoped. And we won't know that until we go and play it back. Okay, so I guess we need to qualify each of you, gentlemen.
You can keep qualifying as he goes.
Yeah, right.
So if we're all sworn in, I'd like to have Mr. Sturbins come forward. Mr. Sturbins, why don't you give the board the benefit of your qualifications?
Thank you, Mr. Grover. Good evening, board members. I graduated from Rutgers College of Engineering in 1983 with a degree in civil engineering. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey. I have been since 1987. I've been employed at Colliers Engineering and Design since 1988. We had a different name at that time, but that's how we currently operate at this point. And senior principal with the firm, and I've held a number of leadership positions with the company. I'm involved with consulting engineering work of the like before the board tonight for my entire career since 1983 when I graduated from Rutgers. Mostly on the municipal side, but I still practice doing site civil work from time to time, including tonight.
I offer Mr. Sturbins as an expert in the field of civil engineering.
Thank Chairman, have any questions as to his qualifications?
None. Is there anyone in the public here on this application?
And there is no one raising their hand.
Any parties in the public on this application or you guys on the next application?
I'm the property manager.
Oh, okay.
He's with us, but not testifying.
Okay.
I live right behind it, but I'm not being contacted. I'm more interested in the private one.
Okay.
Okay, he's acceptable.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Scribbins, you have an exhibit there. Is that something that was submitted to the board or is it changed in any way?
It was submitted to the board as part of the record. It's the site plan. It was submitted to support the application. It's revised through September 17th of 2021.
And there's no changes in what's submitted to the board this evening from what's already been submitted?
There are no changes.
And no need to mark it as an exhibit. Everyone has it.
Great. Thank you.
So why don't you give the board the overview of the site and what we're trying to do?
Sure. I know Mr. Gruenberg provided some background as to why we're here. I'll try to keep this short. The property is 7.96-acre property known as Lot 3 and Block 70. It's located on the east side of Route 31 North, immediately north of the liquor store and immediately to the east of the intersection of Halsted Street and Route 31 in the township. The property is zoned commercial, C1 commercial district. The uses on the property, which are a fitness center, as well as a retail store, the Ocean State retail store, principally permitted in that particular zoning district. There is a one-story building with a small mezzanine, totaling almost 55,000 square feet on the property. As Mr. Bloomberg indicated, there was a D4 variance granted by this board back in 2014. There's actually been a lot of land use activity on the site since 2014. I believe there's four different resolutions that the board adopted, but specifically in 2014, and one of the applications, there's a D4 variance that was adopted by the board. The Ocean State is seeking the site plan approval as well as the associated variances to construct a 6-foot by 3.5-foot sign, directional sign. It's a two-sided sign at its main driveway, which is a right-in, right-out driveway in the southern portion of the site.
Can you slow down a little? I know we're recording. Jackie was here. She'd tell you to slow down. Never mind, no taking purposes. And Denise,
do I need to back up?
No. Okay. Just go a little slow.
So as I mentioned, the applicant is seeking site plan approval to construct a double-sided directional sign immediately south of the main driveway, which is in the southerly portion of the site. I'm going to approach my site plan sheet, too, with the site plan right now that the board can see. And just to orient the board, Route 31 is running from lower left to, lower right to upper left. The site is shown in white here. There's an aerial view of the surrounding properties. The main entrance of the site is in the southerly portion of the property. It's a right-in, right-out driveway. So what is proposed, the applicant is proposing a sign, a directional sign, immediately south of that particular driveway entrance. As I mentioned, that sign is shown in the site plan to be 6 feet wide by 3.5 feet high. It's going to set on a raised platform that's 18 inches high. There'll be a stone fascia to that raised platform in order to provide some interest and better aesthetics. The overall height of that particular installation, including the sign, is 5 feet, which complies with the ordinance. That is the sole improvement that is part of this particular application, site plan application for the board. There are no site improvements, there are no other structures proposed as part of this application.
No because they're going to ask that on the chart.
And a depiction of the proposed sign is in the lower right-hand corner of sheet 202, which is up on our board?
It is.
So the sign, other than being a second sign and within 5 yard setback, a 5 feet setback instead of 15, is a fully conforming sign in terms of size and height, correct?
It is. In your land use regulations, you have a section that provides regulations on signs. It's 165-109. So this sign, in other respects, does comply with that particular ordinance. Just for example, that particular section of the ordinance, subsection 15-foot setback requirement to other property lines. The setback from this sign to the southward sideline of the property is 18 feet, which exceeds the 15 feet. There's also a requirement in subsection N of 165-109 that requires, if you have multiple freestanding signs on site, to be spaced at least 100 feet. There is a spacing of approximately 320 feet between current freestanding sign that's along the frontage and this particular directional sign, which, by the way, is defined in your ordinance as a freestanding sign.
So Mr. Clivier did a report last week that was a completeness report and offered no technical comments. And Mr. Behrens did a report last week that is dated November 18th, 2022, and raised a couple of issues. The first issue on page 2, under freestanding sign, it asks us to confirm compliance with section 165-74B regarding illumination. Can you describe how the sign will be illuminated and confirm that we will comply with that ordinance?
The sign is proposed to be internally illuminated, so it's subject to the requirements in 165-74D, specifically B4. There's a requirement that the internally illuminated signs should not exceed 75% of the Illuminating Engineering Society of North America's luminance recommendations. So it's the intention of the applicant to comply with that particular standard and provide proof to the board's experts of that particular client as a condition of approval.
And on page 3 of 3, it indicates just confirming compliance with all other prior conditions of approval. The only thing that we're changing here is the sign, adding a second sign, and all other conditions of approval have been adhered to, correct?
That is correct.
And the last comment is compliance or to address the purposes of the township's sign requirements, and we're going to let Mr. Block provide that testimony. I think we've addressed everything in Mr. Barron's report, and that completes Mr. Sturban's report, testimony.
Tom, do you have any questions?
I did a few points worth noting, some that I discovered today in reviewing the prior resolution. So the existing freestanding sign, which that kind of escaped me, but it existed prior to these tenants. So it dates back a ways, and I'm not sure if the planning board or this board granted relief to basically reface that sign. So they were able to reutilize.
This board did.
Right. I believe that is the case. This board approved the applicant at the time or the property owner to reface that sign with Ocean State Job Law and Planet Fitness or whoever was the tenant. They did that, it became more aesthetically pleasing. I believe that sign is internally illuminated, which is what they're proposing this sign to be. There is an aspect of the ordinance, specifically section 165-74B2C1, that indicates that the township prefers top mounted sign illumination, and basically stresses that, again, that's preferred, and you know, an applicant can deviate when situations arise that it makes more sense to the other. So I guess in this case, there's an aspect of compatibility that both signs are compatible with each other. We're just looking at the 2D rendering, and it's fairly red, so it'll be bright, you know, once it's internally illuminated. So I guess one question would be, what are the hours of illumination?
It's not going to be 24/7, is it? Right. That would be used for advertising.
It's going to be getting to the site. It would be consistent with the hours of operation of the other sign, which I don't know what that is, but I'm sure that's not
24/7. I want to see. I don't know. At the top of my head, I don't know what the ordinance says about it, and I don't know if anything in this prior resolution says anything about it. If the board doesn't want it on 24/7, the board, in my opinion, since it's the second sign, you could put a time limitation on the illumination of both of the signs. What time does the last business, turn off their lights or the main lights without the security lights and go home.
But it's not their sign.
Now, Planet Fitness was 24 hours, so, but this is not their sign. And this one is, you know,
right,
closer to the street than the other one.
That would be an argument for not including Planet Fitness on the sign.
And I don't believe Planet Fitness is 24 hours anymore, or currently.
You need two more hours.
Much past 9 p.m.
You still have Planet Fitness, that is.
Yeah, but this is not Planet Fitness.
You're timing them both at the same time.
Huh?
I think you said earlier.
No, I suggested that, but when someone pointed out that Planet Fitness was 24/7 and your sign is closer to the street, they could leave the Planet Fitness sign alone.
Okay. If we're leaving Planet Fitness sign alone, we can turn it off when this sign off whenever you want to. If you want it to be 9 o'clock, that would be fine. And I'm getting the nod, yes.
You could turn it off. You could have it illuminated only during the hours when Ocean State is open.
Correct.
Okay. And that suit the board members?
Yes.
Go ahead. Do you have another question?
I have a brief comment just to get them out of the way. Just wanted to confirm that the sign will present any technical issues for this site or the adjacent properties to the south?
It will not, but Mr. Rashad will give you technical reasons why it is not impairing site traffic.
Thank you. And finally, are there any proposed plantings at the sign base typically as an aesthetic enhancement? We see any types of things proposed around a freestanding sign.
None are proposed.
Is that something the applicant would be willing to consider if the board envisioned it that way?
I think it's something that we consider, but it is a smaller, it's only a 5 foot high sign, and part of the relief that we're requesting is 5 feet from a 5 foot setback. So adding landscaping around the sign might propose.
Actually, that was going to be my question. Why can't you comply with 15 feet?
We're going to get Mr. Burchett to testify as to that.
So
there's landscaping on an adjacent property that interferes with that. It would have been our preference to push the sign back, but there's landscaping on an adjacent property that is interfering.
Is he going to get the traffic safety either?
There is some real estate to put landscaping to answer Mr. Barron's question. However, not a lot. And quite frankly, the applicant tried to address that by having this stone fascia around the sign cabinet. We thought that was attractive and would make it appealing, as opposed to trying to shoehorn some landscaping around there. Again, there's not a lot of real estate.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for Ms. Witness? No?
Tom?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I set distance?
Okay. Nice and loud.
Okay. All right. My question would be the existing freestanding sign. What is the setback from the property line? Does that meet the 15 foot? I missed it. The existing.
I think it does, but according to the resolution, it does in the resolution one.
Again, I'm not going to testify. My recollection from 2016 is that the sign is set back the required number of feet, but it's higher than the ordinance allows. And the board, at that time, I believe, felt that it already existed. And so.
But it's also not a ground sign.
It's a freestanding sign.
Freestanding. Is it mounted or is it solid?
It's on a pole.
It's not, well, that's what I mean. It's not ground mounted. It's on a pole.
Correct.
Right.
Oh, yours?
Okay. It's up in the air.
It's 15.5 feet. This is on page 13 of resolution 2014-09.
But you're not calling this proposed sign ground mounted, are you? Look at the detail on sheet two.
It's mounted. The stone is out laying on the ground.
Right. If you took the stone off, they put the stone instead of landscaping.
Decorative.
If they take the stone off, they've made a freestanding sign look like a ground mounted sign. They're using the stone instead of landscaping. In my opinion, this is a ground mounted sign. Just so you understand what's being proposed legally, in my opinion. You're looking at it, and it looks like a ground-mounted sign, but it's a freestanding sign with stone instead of landscaping for aesthetic reasons. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Does that mean there's a different requirement? If it's
not the white house, I don't think the ordinance distinguishes between, let's say, a pylon freestanding sign versus a ground-mounted.
Okay.
You know me, I'm into exactitude.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let's be clear. This is going to be 11 years from now, we may.
I won't hold you to that 11-year extension.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions for this witness? Okay. Next witness, please.
Yes. I called Maurice Bouchet.
Mr. Rochette, why don't you give the board the benefit of your qualifications?
Yes, good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the board. My name is Maurice Rochette. I'm a traffic engineer. I've been practicing traffic engineering for approximately 35 years. I've been before about 1,000 boards, or 1,000 times. That's the
five. 1,000 times.
Not more than five. Always paying attention, by the way. And I've testified before approximately 200 boards in the state of New Jersey. I've had the pleasure of testifying before this board several times and many boards in this area.
I don't think we've ever seen you before. Maybe our planning board.
Oh, a planning board, yes.
Right. I have no note that we've ever seen
Understood.
You before.
And if you think I have a good name, you have no idea.
You're putting me in shame. I offer Mr. Rochette as an expert traffic engineering expert.
Okay. Any questions as disqualifications?
No, he's good.
No, he's fine.
Thank you.
Mr. Rochette, why don't you give the board the benefit of your analysis with respect to the sign placement, the sign distances, and why we need that sign at 5 feet as opposed to 15 feet, which is required.
Okay. There are two issues here. There is a traffic inconvenience issue, and there is a safety issue. And I'm going to cover the traffic inconvenience first, and then the safety. From a traffic inconvenience perspective, it is very simple. It's the fact that the existing sign is not visible way ahead of time, and drivers miss the first driveway, and they have to make a U-turn to look at the site. Obviously, when you learn how to do it, you learn how to do it. But the safety aspect is really important. Right now, the existing sign, is visible during the foliage season, only about 250 feet before the first driveway. In other words, if you're driving on Route 31 northbound, you will not see the sign that is in the middle of the property until you're right in front of the pizzeria, the Pino's Pizza, and the liquor store, which is approximately 250 feet from the entrance point. And 250 feet is not enough distance for someone to slow down or stop. As a matter of fact, the required stopping site distance on Route 31 is about 500 feet. Therefore, putting a sign on the first driveway or at the first driveway will improve that site distance to over 800 feet and will make it safe. Having a sign at the first driveway will improve visibility all the way back to the bridge over the south branch of the canal, the Raritan River. And that would give you about 800 feet, which would make it safe and very effective.
Mr. Rochette, showing the exhibits to the board,
yes,
assist you. And this they don't have, and perhaps we can have this identified.
Are those, is that mounted to that board or is that detachable?
It's detachable.
Oh, excellent. So why don't we mark each one separately? Hold up for a second. You have the stairs.
There's three sheets. And
no,
they
but
are
I have
detached.
Post-its we can use.
Okay. What do you? You want to mark each photo as a separate exhibit? You want to mark each sheet as a separate
probably
exhibit?
Probably do each sheet. That would probably be easier.
So you're going to have A1 through A3 is what you're saying?
Right now, A1 through A3.
Okay. Don't mark the picture.
Got...
You're going to mark each sheet. Go to the lower right-hand corner of each sheet. Oh, yeah, that's right. A1 through A3. Why don't you mark them all first with the A number and then today's date? And then after you mark all three of them, then you can identify three for the record.
It's 11/28.
Right.
22. Getting more tabs. You want to do this one? So we'll get it all done real quick. This would be A2.
A2.
So today's day.
We still need 28.
That's the change. These were site photographs that were taken within the last week of the site by your office?
No, actually, these are screenshots from Google Earth,
okay,
from actually Street View. So anybody will have access to the same exact pictures as shown here from any computer if you have the program.
And they accurately represent what's existing on site?
They do, right. Yes.
So again, A1 is a Google Earth Street View of what?
Of Route 31 northbound in the area just before reaching the site, about approximately 300 feet.
And why don't, and on the top photograph of A1, there's a sign for Pino's Restaurant, Gourmet Pizzeria, and the Wine and Spirits. That's the restaurant that you were referring to earlier.
Yes.
And what's the import of the top photo in A1?
So it's important because it demonstrates that the existing sign is not visible, and it should be noted that this picture was taken in November of 2021. So the leaves
both
are already down.
Both are the top?
Both of them.
November 2021?
Yes.
And
even
and
though...
How do you know that? Because it says that on Google Earth Street View?
That is correct.
Okay.
So this is just about what you see today. If you go today, you'll see most trees have no leaves. And despite the fact that the trees are getting bare, you barely can see the sign which exists today on the property. Now, what I did, I put my car right in front of the sign that says Pino's Pizzeria, and I measured from this point to the driveway, and I got only 220 feet. And that's what gave me the information that there is no stopping sight distance. And if somebody gets to that point, sees the sign, it's not a very safe maneuver to slow down suddenly to enter the site. So moving the sign back to this driveway, where there is no foliage to the first driveway, where there is one tree, but the way we position the signs, we are avoiding the tree from obstructing the sign. Placing it here will provide visibility all the way back to, like I said before, the bridge over the river, which would give you approximately 800 feet of visibility, which is very adequate.
Now, the main question, one of the variances that we're requesting is why we need to have the sign 5 feet as opposed to 15 feet as required by the ordinance. And is that because of this tree located on the Pino's property and other landscaping
that would obscure the sign from being viewed as you're traveling up 31 North?
Yes. If we position the sign at 15 feet in, we'll have the same issue we have today, and the sign will be blocked by foliage. So having it 5 feet from the property line is optimal for visibility, and it does not interfere with sight distance or with the sight triangle. The sight triangle on a national level is 14 and a half feet in terms of the distance between the obstruction and the travel lane. We have more than 25 feet in this location, so there will be no interference between the sign and the sight triangle.
And that tree that would obscure the sign at 15 feet is also located in the bottom photograph as you get closer to the entranceway, correct?
That is correct, and that tree belongs to the neighboring site, so we have no control over it. Otherwise, maybe cutting it would be proposed. I don't want to cut trees, but I'm just saying.
And the location that we're proposing, is it a safer alternative than 15 feet under the circumstances of the site?
It is a safer alternative because it provides the optimal visibility of the site.
Go to Exhibit A2. Can you describe what's in the top photograph of Exhibit A2?
So Exhibit A2 is an exhibit of the frontage of the site, and in the middle of the exhibit, you see the existing sign that says on top, Job Lot, and on the bottom, Planet Fitness.
And the bottom of Exhibit A2, what does that reflect?
This shows the driveway that is servicing the site, and this is the, and it shows also the grassy area where the sign is proposed.
And that would be the grassy area to the left of the photograph?
That is correct. To the left of the roadway.
Correct.
Yes.
And Exhibit A3,
Exhibit A3 shows the access to the site if you're coming on Halsted Street and you want to go directly into the site. And then at this point, most likely you will stop because you have the red light most of the time. And at that point, in that vantage location, you will see the existing sign. So that sign will still serve a purpose for the traffic on Halsted.
In other words, we still need the sign that is existing for the Job Lot and Planet Fitness, which is located closer to Halsted Street, because it identifies the entranceway to the shopping center from Halsted, correct?
That is correct, yes.
So relocating or moving that sign would actually defeat the purpose of having the identification from Halsted Street.
That's correct. Then you have people intending to come to the site with no visual cue as to where the site is.
They might even think it's just a roadway, correct?
Possibly.
And the bottom photograph?
It's just a closer look at the intersection. It doesn't really add anything to this discussion, but it's a closer look at this intersection. And we did it in case a board member has a question about the signal, about the installation.
Anything else?
I'm done.
I have no other questions for Mr.
Richard. Question, sir. As you're driving north, the second driveway that you get to, which is straight across from Halsted Street, car going north on 31, could turn right into that driveway. Is that correct?
It's a good question, Mr. Chairman. It is possible for a car to turn right, however, and I see now why this lower picture was given to answer that question.
Yes.
However, if you look at the geometry, it's kind of a tight geometry,
mm-hmm.
so it is possible, but we don't want people to do it.
Right. It's not prohibited.
It's not prohibited, correct.
Okay, but it's not optimal. Okay.
Is there a sign prohibiting that turn there?
No.
No, there's not.
Okay. I wonder if... I'm just, again, this is just...
If there was a sign, Mr. Driller, it would be
on this town ordinance, and it would be authorized as a sign there, and the sign's not there. But there's no sign there, right?
There is no sign there.
Yeah. Okay.
What kind of sign are you talking about? A right turn?
No right turn. So that people going north on 31 don't make that sharp right turn is what I was asking about. They're saying it's not prohibited, and John was asking if there's a sign. I know there's not a sign there.
Right. Because I was thinking they could turn into that.
They do.
They could.
And they do?
They do.
Because they missed the first driveway.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
They've also made a left from that right lane.
I assume it's going to be Mr. Bouchard's testimony that if the board grants the variance for the sign, it will lessen the probability of people missing the first driveway.
Yes, it should practically eliminate that possibility.
Isn't that the whole reason why we're here, actually? Yes. To try to avoid people making that right and actually taking advantage of the safer ingress into the site.
That's really the whole reason you're here?
But
that's really the whole reason you're here?
Well, that's the reason why the client's here, is to be able to get people to use that driveway and identify the site.
Yeah. Your question? Yeah,
how many
that's the question.
How many accidents have there been in that vicinity because of people, for example, using that right turn because they've missed the first driveway?
We have not done an accident analysis. I felt there was no need for accident analysis. We had enough to justify the sign. And
enough, not too many. Well, of course, but
yeah. I don't know.
I wonder what sort of statistics you have or other indications that people, in fact, are missing that initial driveway.
When I looked at it, ma'am, I could see how easy it is to miss the driveway. And also we heard from one of the people involved in the facility that told me that people do miss the driveway.
Board members, you can't testify, but you can use your own knowledge of the situation. I thought I heard Mr. McKiernan say that he had seen people driving in there. Did I hear you?
I have, yes. Correct.
In the second driveway?
Yes. And I've seen people make a left turn from that right lane to go across Halsted Street, which is an interesting behavior.
Dangerous. I've seen that, too.
She's not testifying either.
Other questions? No? Oh, I'm good? Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Back on your second sheet you displayed.
A2, correct?
Correct. The exit down where the little red or orange car, whatever it is, where are the existing signs, the little enter and exit signs?
And I saw that today, there is right here, there is a... this is for the other driveway, I apologize. But I did see enter and exit signs on this driveway, and I did see an exit sign on the other driveway.
But not on this driveway.
I thought there was two signs there.
I believe I saw, before coming here, I stopped by the site, and I believe I saw an exit and an enter sign at this driveway.
Correct.
Yes.
And you're talking enter and exit to driveway. Correct. Where,
and if I'm not mistaken, at the other sign, I only saw an exit sign on the other driveway, which makes sense.
Where on the lower picture would your new sign be located?
It would be located someplace in this area. The picture with this perspective is misleading because of the curvature,
right?
But it would be somewhere right here.
Okay. So you would have to come all the way to the stop line. Where approximately is the stop line as you enter?
So the stop line is not shown here. You mean as you enter?
No, I'm sorry. Enter 31. As you enter.
Yeah, as you exit the stop line, and let me see if I can verbalize this for the record. It would be close to the edge of the island separating the ingress and the egress, obviously facing traffic. So if I'm going to show it to you with my hand, which would be no good for the record, This is, I got to tell you, like this, you should get 5 stars.
Not yet. Where is it?
It would be, again, I'm showing with my hand, it would be a line that would be going from what you see on the picture, the term Google at the bottom, and going downward at an angle, basically facing traffic, being perpendicular to the flow of traffic. Okay. Leaving.
It's about the middle of your concrete island there.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
And then your sign would be approximately where that.
So the sign would be on the other side.
Right.
In that grassy area, and you could see clearly if you push the sign back, it would be behind the tree. That's why the sign had to be 5 feet from the edge of from the property line.
So the 800 feet, what you're saying is from the stop sign, or I'm sorry, the stop line, or is it 800 feet back down 31?
It's 800 feet. The 800 feet I was referring to is down Route 31. So if someone is traveling on Route 31, according to this picture, from the left to the right, they'll be going northbound. And my 800 feet is actually going downward. That means from the right to the left on this exhibit.
So that's the site distance for the exiting traffic
from
that driveway.
Yes.
800 feet.
For both the exiting, so the exiting traffic will be able to see cars coming north on 31, and cars on 31 going north will be able to see the intersection at that point.
So they're basically
the same. Sign, actually, the sign, just to be clear. Yeah.
And when you're exiting onto Route 31, does that turn into the third lane there?
When you're exiting on 31,
right there, and there's an access. Is there an acceleration lane?
I'll give you the answer in 1 second.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Entrance and an exit. It exit you to
yes,
the
it
right
does.
Turn for Halstead.
Okay.
Yep.
So the northbound 31 traffic where that little red or orange car, whatever it is, would not be in the acceleration lane.
Correct.
That's
correct. Exiting.
The exiting traffic have their own lane
correct.
All the way to the end of the site.
So there's another way of avoiding an accident there. You don't see all the way down. You would have to get the 800 foot sight distance if you went all the way up to the stop line. Looking
you
for
would
traffic.
Have to inch forward.
Yes.
To achieve the so the record will be very clear about the 800 feet. The 800 feet is the distance that I measured as the visibility to the sign. Now, the sign is higher than a car.
Right.
Now, the visibility for the car, I did not measure. And the distance needed for a car is the stopping distance, like I said before, is about 500 feet. So we have plenty of margin. But anyway, this is an existing condition. It is what it is today. All we're doing is actually improving the safety by putting the sign.
I understand what you're saying, but it is a solid 5 foot tall sign, 6 foot wide, basically, that you're putting in.
What you're asking him is, do you think it would impede someone's site visibility exiting the site? That's what he's
no.
asking.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely. We checked that. We checked it on paper. I checked it in the field. It will not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's on record.
Is that because the site would be on? As one is exiting the site, the sign would be to the driver's right?
No.
To the left.
Left.
Would be to
that's
the left?
Yeah.
It's up on the grass.
Are you saying that if the car is at the stop bar, it might have its distance, site distance impeded to exit, but if it inches out past the bar, at some point it can see before it enters the roadway? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. And also keep in mind that this traffic, they have their own lane, so they don't need, theoretically, because as they enter their lane on the highway, they're not interfering with anybody's
traffic. You can see all the way down
to
the hotel. Put a sign in here that's 5 foot high.
They're entering what I would call is
auxiliary.
You could call it a shoulder before and a shoulder after.
Yes.
So that area is made into an existing lane. Instead of the solid line, the linear shoulder,
you have a stripe. Cars going on Halston Street are coming up here at 60 miles an hour.
It's a jug handle to get to Halston.
So what you're saying is correct, but it's still dangerous because of speed.
Any other questions for Mr. Bichette?
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Daniel Block. And Mr. Block, why don't you give the board the benefit of your qualifications?
Good evening. Yes, I have a bachelor's degree in environmental design and urban planning from the University of Buffalo, licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey, certified by the American Institute of Certified Planners, specified for over 100 boards in New Jersey, not quite to Maurice's level. But I have testified before this board.
Correct. Remember which case?
It was a two-family home, Nagel Creek.
That's exactly right. Very good.
That's the quiz.
My office, Mr. Block, is the planning.
Okay. He's acceptable.
Thank you, Mr. Block. Why don't you give the board the benefit of your analysis as to the two variances that we're requesting? Thank you. And again, just the two variances for the record. We're requesting permission to have two signs on the property, two permanent freestanding signs, where only one is permitted, and we're requesting a 5-foot setback from the front property line, whereas 15 feet is required. We're requesting this under a C2, which is known as a flexible C2 variance, so we have to prove the positive and negative criteria. As far as the positive criteria, we have to show that the purposes of the municipal land use law would be advanced by the proposed deviations. And I believe we are promoting three of the purposes of the municipal land use law. Nice and slow, purpose A, promoting public health, safety, general welfare. And you heard from Mr. Rashid, the sign will promote traffic safety, enhancing traffic safety by allowing people to see the site and enter the correct driveway with adequate time to make that turn safely. Purpose H of the municipal land use law, we are promoting the free flow of traffic. Again, the sign is promoting wayfinding and traffic safety, allowing the sign to be read in a proper manner without being obstructed by the existing landscaping on the neighboring property. Purpose I, promoting a desirable visual environment. The sign will be visually appealing. It will have a nice base made of stone.
Can I make a suggestion? I would use that one for the negative criteria. 2A, 2H, I get it. But saying that they should grant the variance to allow a 5-foot deviation or a second sign because the thing looks nice?
We can use it as sure. Both.
We only need one, so I'll go with A and H.
The negative criteria, we have to show there's no substantial detriment to the public good. And you've heard testimony already. The sign will not impede the visibility of traffic coming northbound on Route 31 or the traffic exiting the site. And the sign's not going to be excessive for the property. It's really only a 5-foot sign. We're not asking for another giant pylon sign, which is like the one that's already there. It's a smaller sign just to direct traffic into that driveway.
And it's aesthetically pleasing, right?
Do you see any substantial detriment to the zoning plan or zoning ordinance if the board granted a variance? I don't see any negative impact on the zoning plan or zoning ordinance. And in particular, as the board planner mentioned, we have to show that we're not inconsistent with the intended purposes of the zoning plan, which is the township signing sign ordinance, section 165-109B. I believe we are promoting several of these purposes of the sign ordinance, using signs as an effective means of communication, enhancing the aesthetic environment of the township and attracting sources of economic development, improving traffic safety,
these are all the purposes identified in section 165-109B, and you just went through 1, 2, and 3.
Correct.
Thank you. Number 4, minimize the possible adverse effects of signs on nearby public and private property. I don't believe there are any adverse effects as we discussed. Number 5, fostering the integration of signage with architectural and landscape design. We have an architectural element to this sign, and we're not proposing landscaping because it would obstruct the visibility of the sign. If we were going to do landscaping, we might need to make the sign a little taller to accommodate it, but that's not what we're proposing today. Lessen the visual clutter and proliferation of signs. We're over 300 feet away from the existing sign, so we're not too close. I don't think this will result in any sign clutter for the D31 corridor. I didn't see any of these other purposes that were negatively impacted by this application. I did look at the master plans for the township, and I didn't really see anything relevant to signage, but I didn't see anything inconsistent. We are promoting economic development by allowing the passersby to enter and exit the site safely. So, in summary, we have to show that the benefits of the proposed changes would outweigh the detriments. I don't believe there are any detriments, so I think the promotion of public safety and safe traffic will outweigh the negative impact.
I have no other questions, Mr. Clark.
Okay. I have a couple. Does anyone else want to go? So one question, and when I look at the plan, the sign reads Ocean State Job Lot. But what about Planet Fitness? How come they're not on the sign? They're not paying for the sign. I assume that has something to do with it. But they use the same driveway, and my thought was, if we approve this sign, are they going to be back next month looking for their own sign? Could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. My understanding is that the Planet Fitness tend to use the other driveway more because they're on that side of the property. Ocean State Job Lot is on the right side.
That's a problem. You're saying it's okay they use the unsafe driveway?
He said okay. He just said that.
He said that was the rationale, though, that they use that, and he didn't voice any problem with it. Did I misread what you just said?
My understanding is that that is more or less the case because that's the side of the property that the use is on.
I'm not sure what that has to do with it. The question is where they drive in, and part of your argument was it's safer for people to drive in the southern driveway than the northern. Am I stating something that you didn't put forward? Stop me if I'm off track here.
That's what he said.
Yeah, I actually think that the reasoning is just that Ocean State Job Lot owns the property and wanted to identify the site for their purposes.
I thought you were going to say that people going to Ocean State might be not in the locality. They might need to better identify it, but the people at Planet Fitness might be more long-term. Clients.
But John, now you shouldn't be making his argument.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Well, that's actually what I was started to say. Yeah, because, right. No, I did.
You showed your hand too soon.
This is a planning issue. This is not for either of us. He's being asked a question. You can't answer. I can't answer.
Well, I can answer on behalf of the applicant.
No. He's asking the planner a question.
But you asked why Planet Fitness wasn't going to be on the sign.
Right. If the argument here is that this is going to, and I could read off all of the points here, safety, et cetera. Well, if it's safety for the goose, is it not for the gander?
I'm
asking the planner.
Okay. This is what he's asking. If the existing big sign has both of them, from a planning perspective, why wouldn't the new smaller sign closer to the street have both of them from a planning perspective? How does that make sense?
And if all the purposes that you outlined, which justify it for Ocean State, why do those not all apply to Planet Fitness?
They don't.
they may apply to Planet Fitness. Planet Fitness has not requested the sign. Ocean State Jawa is the one that noticed an issue with their customers having problems entering that.
Yeah, but you just noted an issue with the Planet Fitness people going down to that second driveway also.
Planet Fitness, they may be more familiar with the site.
Is there any data to back up that claim?
I'm
asking the planner if there's any data to back up the claim he just made that the Planet Fitness users, customers, have a greater familiarity with the site.
I don't have any data, but I would say from a planning standpoint, when you have a fitness club, you're typically a member,
you ready for this? That sounds like a net opinion, unless you can cite to some planning literature that says that.
I don't have that in my back pocket. I'm sure I could find something if I need to.
Okay, but you don't have anything tonight?
I do not.
Okay. So I'll offer this for consideration by the other board members. If this makes sense, to me it would make sense that both establishments were listed on the sign. So consider that, and you can, you know, agree or disagree with me when we get to that point of the discussion.
I believe way back when the board approved refacing the existing sign, the applicant had asked about having the second sign, and the board is like, you know what, see if you could just reface the existing sign. Now, if there's a safety issue with it, it would actually be consistent with what you, even though if you're saying now, you can have a second sign, but it would be consistent to have, if it's a problem for one, it's a problem for the other, and they should both be on that.
That would be my take on it.
I might have to call Mr. Turner about the leases because I don't
have to take a 5 minute.
Take 5 minutes. Before we do that, do other board members have questions for the planner?
Could we also consider making smaller the existing sign, just as a possible quid pro quo, because it's an awfully big and not terribly attractive sign.
If we're talking about aesthetics,
we have been talking about aesthetics.
The question is, do you make that existing one smaller?
And we let them chew on that. We'll
Since we're considering a second sign, chew on that.
Also.
Okay, we'll take 5 minutes. Okay. Hey, Larry, can you hear when the applicant is speaking?
Yeah, the first applicant for the extension of time, he was a little hard to hear, but I just turned the volume up.
Okay, but these gentlemen, you can hear Steve Gruenberg?
Yeah, these guys are good.
Okay. All right, clear. Great, thanks. We're going to take 5 minutes.
Okay.
Did you want it recording?
No, it's going to let it run.
Okay.
I don't know if I can pick up in the middle. Oh, I've never been there once.
I'm there every day at Planet Fitness. Not literally, but most weeks I'll do Monday through Sunday with maybe one day off.
I've never been in job lot or whatever.
Whenever you've exited that driveway, okay, you're looking left, watching traffic coming north. I had a little problem, you know, thinking. I was there the other day to look at where this sign might be, and it's hard to say because you can't really see it on that detail of the end.
Yeah.
And I don't know what a 5 foot setback would be, the property line. But to me, there would be a little bit of a restriction. And that's why I wanted him to say that it's perfectly safe, and that's his opinion.
When I exit, I stop. When I look to the left, which is the northbound traffic,
yes,
I can see the traffic coming down the hill, mm-hmm, right after the dentist's office or at the hotel.
Oh, you can see that far?
When I'm at the stop mark.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that pretty much where the bridge is?
I can see beyond the bridge.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
To me, if they put the sign up there, I'm not convinced that wouldn't block my view.
Which is Tom's concern.
And what Tom said is that, you know, you can turn onto the access lane and exit.
Well, no,
however,
that's why
when I do that, when I merge over the other lane, I have to go this 513 to come to my house. The traffic passes me, and when I get up to 55, they're still passing me coming up the pump.
So I wait until there's enough free space
and along there to pull onto the access line right to Denver, because I know that I'm not going to, I'm just not interested in doing it. I'm not going to be going 55 to 60 in that short period of time.
It's about the time it gets cold.
Yeah. But I'm not aware of accidents.
You know what? Let's go back and look at the sign at the Google Earth from years ago, which you can do.
Just I see cars come up to that light.
Oh.
When the light is red, you make a left turn.
Right.
They're not aware of the junk.
They are. It's the banker. Goes there every day. And what he knows is if he waits for the light to turn green, he's got to go across, come around, wait for the light to change. If there's no traffic crossing, and it's still red, he knows that he can make a left turn and get across. Now, if an officer sees him...
Let's see, I'm in the wrong place here.
It's a white van, and it's a baker.
So it's right here, right?
Oh,
yeah. But
I see him regularly.
I don't have the guts to try
at the light. I really
Here's all the dates.
All the time, stop,
you can go back and see.
To make a left turn across 31. I've honked at him, but you can't do that. But I've been
and no turns for these guys coming out.
That would be a really bad place to.
But there's nothing that says no right turns. Go back to 28.
But they do it during traffic.
Oh, no. That's facing this way.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
look again.
Oh, people run those lights all the time.
I've been seeing.
Mountain's not clear.
The reason I say that is that pole is here. This goes this way. So if something's driving this way, they're not going to see that.
Yeah.
Oh. You think that's the people on 31 North?
Yes, there was always wait.
Let's look at another one.
I mean, honestly,
I get honked at all the time on the front.
And now it's gone by 2015.
My grandson,
and that's many times just missed getting hit by a fight.
When that was part of my town, that was part of
the town.
I'm not sure it's going to change.
Oh, no, we're not.
You're looking at me like I'm from Mars.
You know,
Grandma.
Peer pressure.
Okay, we'll get back on the session and make sure we understand what all the open questions are. All right, you guys ready? All right, Denise, are you ready? Well, okay, we're back on the record. Mr. Grunberg, the floor is yours.
So, Mr. Chairman, we've had a little powwow.
Okay.
And we've come to the realization that we're going to have to come back.
Okay.
We can't answer those questions. I can tell you forthrightly that the existing sign, we couldn't, it does not appear that we're going to be able to do anything with that sign in terms of reduction because of lease agreements and all of that that been existing and
if that's going to be the answer, they're going to want to see proof of that.
And that's why I'm coming back.
Okay.
And the as to the addition of Planet Fitness on to the proposed new sign, I can't even commit to you that we can do that. It, from my people's perspective and Planet Fitness perspective, we got to research all of that.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to come back.
Your date, can we give him a date, sir, to come back? How much time do you think you need? Well, we told you that.
You want to add something? Yeah, okay.
We can do it in
we'll give you just a chance.
December 19th.
that quickly? I don't. If you ask for December 19th and then you don't use it, that's not going to be good.
I'm looking at my schedule too.
Otherwise, January is January 23rd. You don't have to see the reorg meeting.
Yeah. We can give you the first thing on the agenda.
I can't do December 19th.
January 23rd.
January 23rd. I'm already.
When is the time to decide the application?
We agreed to extend the time period through the end of January or end of February.
End of February. But let's see if we.
I think we do, because I think we had to already extend this application has been.
Okay, so we'll make an announcement that the hearing on this application is going to be continued without need for further notice to January 23, 2023, the board's reorg meeting. You'll be the first application on after the reorg, and you're agreeing to extend the time for the board to take action to February 28th.
In case there's no storm.
That's right.
And before you go, sir. Let's see, do the board members have any other questions you'd like the applicant to make sure they address when they come back? And Tom, you have one, right?
Yeah, I do have one. Traffic engineer. You got hand motions, everything, where you're saying that sign would be, is it possible, since it wouldn't be very large, to erect maybe a piece of plywood or something like that? The problem would be a location where that sign is going to be.
Exhibit or the same exhibit.
Right.
Or even if it's good request. Plunk down. Where the sign is going to be
and take some pictures.
Grassy area and bring the exhibit back.
We can do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Like the rendering or something that shows you how the sign is going to look like once it's installed.
Well, it's not only how the sign is going to look like. I'd like to see what the sign physically, a piece of plywood or something erected, then take your photograph looking south.
Right.
At the north.
Can I make a request or a suggestion?
Sure. And this is Larry. Speaking, or engineer. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, he didn't swear me in or anything.
He's not testifying. Okay, go ahead, Larry.
I just heard a lot. It sounds like to me, from listening to the application, the board had some concerns about the obstruction within the site triangle. So I know we're talking a mock-up of a board maybe or something for actual field installation or for photos, but I would think it might be prudent for the traffic engineer to submit something on a plan that shows the ASHTO design standards for a site triangle based on the stop line, because that's where the cars are being directed to stop leaving the parking lot. So I think from that stop line should be where your 14 and a half feet should be your apex for your triangle. And then the legs would be based on ASHTO's speed designs, which is the supposed speed limit plus a certain amount of miles per hour for designs. And I think if you overlay that site triangle on your site plans, where you show the proposed sign, at least there's some engineering documentation for the board to consider and have on file that it complies with ASHTO standards and it won't be an obstruction.
Can you do that?
Yes.
Can you do that?
Okay, one other question. Is it possible you can check to determine whether or not, in fact, it is legal to make a right-hand turn into the parking lot in the northern driveway? We, based on prior personal knowledge, having lived here for decades, there used to be a sign there that said no turns, is my recollection. So my question is to whether or not the sign is missing and it's not legal, or it is legal. If possible, and you could investigate that, that might be helpful and weigh into our decision. Does anyone else have any other questions you'd like to toss out to the applicant?
That was my question.
Okay.
Good.
Got it. Okay. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful holiday.
Okay. All right. And while they're exiting, we're on to application number 21734, Route 31. Good evening. And for the record, let me just read the paragraph while these gentlemen are getting set up. Applicant is seeking preliminary major site plan approval, as well as a D4 floor area ratio and C variance relief to demolish the existing office building and construct a new medical office building with associated site improvements. And before we start, you may have gathered our engineer.
Yes, he's remote.
He's remote. He's here. If you want to come around and see, I can see him on the camera. He can see everything that's going on, but he cannot necessarily see anything that you're going to put up on the easel there. And he can hear you if you speak clearly. Okay, the floor is yours, sir.
Just to amend, we were also part of the use variance. We also includes a variance for the height because we exceed.
Yeah. Right, that's in our planner's report.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Michael Salvaggi from Labor Salvaggi of Mexico, on behalf of the applicant 1743 Route 31 LLC.
Feel free to have a seat here. We're going to be here a while.
Fine.
Okay.
Actually,
talk slow.
Okay. The chair adequately described what we're looking to do here. The property, as you know, is 1743 Route 31. I believe it was actually the site of Benbrook and Benbrook many years ago. We are now looking to demolish that building and put up a new medical office building for reasons that weren't able to disclose earlier. And I think in some of your board's reports, there was a concern perhaps that we were doing this on spec. We'll let you know that it is the tenant is going to be St. Luke. So if that eliminates any concerns that we're just doing this on the come. So what I'd like to first do is have the developer's representative testify as to the operational standpoint and that went into the design of this. When the first witness concludes, we'll then move into our engineering, architecture, and then if time permits, I don't know how late you guys go, we'll go into our planning testimony.
Let's get everyone sworn.
Do
everyone,
okay,
that he has referenced, come on up to the table. And we're going to get the board experts sworn, including you, Larry. Okay? And the only reason, normally, before I swear someone, I have to see them, but I know Larry's voice. And so I'm going to swear him.
And we can see him.
Oh, let me just take a quick peek. All the better.
He's working on his hair.
Oh, how you doing, Larry?
Okay, great. Everyone raise their right hand. Does everyone swear the testimony? You're going to give this between will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Okay, so start over here.
Where is he? James Kyle, K-Y-L-E, Kyle McManus, Associates in Hopewell Professional Planning.
And you're the applicant.
I'm the applicant's planning expert, correct.
Happy holidays.
Marcus Rosenau, R-O-S-E-N-A-U, with SSP Architects in Somerville, New Jersey, the applicant's architect.
And you're one of the principals, correct?
You're up.
Jess Simons, S-Y-M-O-N-D-S, for our engineering professional.
The applicant engineering.
That's correct. Yeah, Jim Mazzucco, M-A-Z-Z-U-T-C-O, for the plant work. On Baron, P-E-H-R-E-S, for the
And Larry?
I'm the board engineer with Mott McDonald's, P-L-E-V-I-E-R.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Stefu, if you want to speak. You're the managing member of 1743 Route 31 LLC?
Yes.
And you're presently under contract with St. Luke to construct this proposed building?
Correct.
Okay. And in the course of doing the design work, there were certain parameters and operational information given to you, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And St. Luke is going to be the only tenant in this building, correct?
Correct.
All right. And what's the rationale that St. Luke had when they came to you about building this one standalone building at the
this location.
So they have three or four different locations for small groups in Union Township, Franklin Township, and they wanted to consolidate and wanted a better location than they have now. So they came to me. I have a relationship with them. But, they leased a couple buildings for me in Washington on the 31. So we discussed this, and that's how it came about.
Okay. Now, in the design of this building, what are the services that they're going to provide at this location if they get the approval?
They have primary care, they have lab, they have physical therapy.
Mike, you're going to have to speak louder because
okay,
you don't understand. The recording equipment's not working, so we're recording via
WebEx
and cell phone.
Yeah, okay.
They have physical therapy. They have doctors that they rotate. That some may be there a couple days a week. And then they have radiology. But they have different disciplines there that are located in the surrounding areas. And for efficiency purposes, they are all located in one. There would want to be all located in one facility.
And is there an orthopedic group that's going to be
associated?
And when you spoke with Representative St. Luke, these different disciplines or services they provided, how many employees are going to be, operating out of?
Approximately, including the staff receptionist, between 20 and 25 people.
Okay. And what are the proposed hours?
20 to 25 people at any one time, or 20 to 25 people total?
Overall, depending on the hours, they go down from there, but the maximum.
Once you say 20 to 25 people at any one time,
Yes.
Okay. And what are the proposed hours of operation? Understanding that each one of these disciplines may not be open during that period of time, but overall the building will be open.
Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay. And what about on the different hours on Saturdays?
Probably more limited to 8 a.m. to 7 p.m.
All right. And then Sundays? Whether
it isn't planned initially, if the demand is great, then they may have some Sunday hours limited.
Okay. And then on any one of these groups open like during holidays?
Thank you. Yeah, the few holidays they may be limited hours, but it will not be the full. It will not be the full 7 days.
Okay. I'll ask you the question. Besides the urgent care, all of the other disciplines that they're going to be operating out of there are all pretty much by appointment only, correct?
Correct.
All right. And then what, in your conversations with them, what would they anticipate the number of patients coming in and out of their urgent care?
Each of the facilities are different. They have some facilities that there's 20 people. They have some facilities that 60. I guess to me, this type of demographic, the size of it, probably 30 to 35, 40 people.
30 to 45 people a day?
A day.
And that's at the urgent care.
Correct.
And that's plus the 20 to 25 people that are staff?
No, they're
inclusive.
The 20 to 25 people is the total staff for all their disciplines.
The 30 to 40 are patients. Is that right?
That's for the urgent care.
Right. Patients for the urgent care. Yeah. Right.
So then there's still more on top of that.
Orthopedics and everything else will have different patients. And your understanding, just Sapio, is the urgent care would be
the one discipline that would generate the most patients coming in.
Correct.
I don't have anything further for Mr. Bissap on the operations. Some of it will also get caught up in engineering and architecture, but I know the board planner had raised those issues.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, I would like to know more.
Go down.
I would like to know if you have more or can get more information about the non-urgent care people traffic that are coming in. Like how many, so there's all these other functions, there's, I don't know, five other functions that are going on at the same time with urgent care. You know, like what, how many people at a time would be working and then how many patients would be coming in at the same time?
Well, we meet your parking. If you're worried about parking, you meet the parking requirements. So, I mean, it's...
And they would be by appointment.
Okay, but still, I'd like to know. I don't have any information. I know there's 20 to 25 people, and if you assume that they're there all the time and that they each have patients every hour, you know, like, and that's what I'm going to go on. So that's a large number. So I'd like to know more about what the patient turnover during the day is going to be other than urgent care.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Mr. Sapio?
No. Okay.
Well, you mentioned that I heard you say primary care. By that, mm-hmm. Were you referring to urgent care, or is there something else?
General practitioner.
So like internal medicine primary care?
Yeah.
GPs.
Okay. Thank you.
Tom, Dan, you got anything?
I'm good.
I guess just from an operational standpoint, will there be any vehicles kept on site? Are you out any vans, emergency vehicles?
No. I don't foresee any of this.
No ambulance?
No ambulance.
Okay.
Did you mean ambulance stored on site, right. Parked on site?
Any type of vehicles that are...
Yeah, there won't.
Is there some form of exhibit, probably not for you, but maybe for subsequent professional, about the distribution of these uses within the building? Do you have exhibit? I think the earlier floor plan just showed an open footprint. I think it would be good for the board to know the delineation of spaces in terms of or the urgent care of the day, where there's different practice spaces.
Yes, I think it is the term.
We have a tentative floor plan that it hasn't been finalized, but we can show you generally, because we're only here on preliminary.
Right, you're here on preliminary, which if the board knows, the plans can be in tentative form for preliminary. They're not here for final approval.
But I think Mark is taking...
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you, Mr. DeSapio.
You know what you find out? Is there anyone in the audience here other than with the applicant? Anyone in the audience here that's interested in the application?
Okay.
So this is when the chairman asks does any board members have any questions? And they say, no, they're done with their questions. Then he says to the board professional, you guys have any questions? And we say, we don't have any more questions. Then he says, are there any other questions? He means, do you guys have any questions?
I appreciate that. I don't.
Okay.
All right. What we'd like to do, Mr. Chairman, now is call Jeff Simon. Mr. Simmons, you're getting situated there. Is he a multitask? Could you let the board know?
Can you spell your last name one last time? We're having a little dispute on your last name.
S-Y-M-O-N-D-S.
All right, you're right. I'm wrong.
All right. And Mr. Simmons, what's your background, educational background, license you hold, and your experience in testifying as a civil engineer in land use matters in New Jersey?
I have a degree in civil and environmental engineering from
New Jersey Institute of Technology. I worked for Biggs Engineering for 15 years, and I owned Biggs Engineering for an additional 30 years. I now work for Ferraro Engineering for 5 years. I've been before this board in 2019 for the same site for different uses.
Correct.
Besides dozens of other boards.
And your license is current?
Yes, it is.
And can you speak loud? Again, yes. we're recording, believe it or not, from up on the dais. Okay. All the microphones that everyone has, they're dead.
Okay. All right.
No better way of saying it.
Does anyone have any questions as to his qualifications?
No.
Okay.
Do you have any questions on his qualifications?
All right, so Mr. Simons, you put something up on the easel to the right here. Is that just a set of the plans that you had submitted?
This is the latest set of plans you submitted, which are revised to 11/15/22.
All right, and these plans address or were intended to address many of the comments that you had received from the board engineer and planner in October, correct?
They don't address all, but they address, I would say, 80% of the comments, yes.
Okay. So why don't we start with whatever sheet, I think we're on sheet, is that 3 of 9?
Yes, 3 of 9.
All right. What's proposed here and what's shown on sheet 3 of 9?
This is Route 31 in the front of the site, and Ben Brooks building sits perpendicular to Route 31, and it was Benbrook and Morrow, and I believe there was a dental office in there at one point. So that's to be removed. We're using the exact same entrance. It's our intention to leave it the same width and at the same location. And we're proposing a 25,000 square foot building with access one way from building this way, where patients can be dropped off, and then the whoever drops them off can come around and park somewhere else. And also we're two-way operation through here, the rear of the building alongside for parking, where you have ambulatory patients that can park and walk in themselves. We're providing 105 spaces. 111 are required by ordinance, but we're allowed to take a credit of 6 extra spaces for what are called make-ready spaces, which are charging stations that we're required to install now. And last submission, I had 4 in. I added 2 more, quite honestly, because there does seem to be quite a bit of use of these charging stations now. There's 3 entrances, one on the front, which is the to the west, one to the north, and one on the rear of the building, which is to the east. Our proposal is to collect the stormwater from the parking lots, pipe it to a bioretention basin here, and that, once it's treated there, will be discharged to a regular detention basin in this area. We're also using 8 areas of pervious paving. That's pavement where the rainwater basically falls on the pavement, goes through the pavement, and into an underground gravel chamber where it's collected and then infiltrated into the ground. We've done some soil testing for these areas. We have to do a bunch more. And generally, that's pretty much the way this is laid out. It's the grading plan, and again, these hatched areas are early pavement areas, and that's we're conforming to the state stormwater standards, which require what's called green infrastructure, and that's to meet that green infrastructure, we have to use pervious pavement and what are called small bioretention basins. Small-scale bioretention basin, which you're not allowed to have more than 2.5 acres tributary to. As you can see on this side, We also went ahead and added the adjoining what was approved adjacent to the site, which is the housing. This is their community building right here, the parking area. The housing units start back here, and one of our revisions was to move this basin further and tighter up here, so we have all this area right here to heavily landscape where prior we didn't have quite enough room to.
And just for the record, the housing site, that's the Ingerman inclusionary development site?
That's correct. And we basically took their plans from online and proposed them on our plan.
Just, I should mention sheet 3 of 9 when you were looking at it. Originally, we had proposed a loading area. That doesn't appear to be on this new revised plan. Why is that?
That's correct. We spoke with the client, St. Luke's, and they do not use any type of tractor trailers or even any large box trucks for any type of delivery. We have provided a circulation plan for fire trucks and the garbage trucks to ensure they can access and move through the site. But as far as deliveries...
Are you saying no loading dock or no loading area?
No loading dock or loading area.
And I need an exception.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mr. Kyle will testify. All right. So yeah, I meant to ask you that before. So if you need to go back to sheet 4, that's fine.
One of the other revisions we made brought up the variance of the recycling area, and we've relocated that to 76.2 feet off, which is conforming now. It's within the setback.
And we'll also, I think one of the comments raised was something about screening that or
yes, and that. We've made a note that it'll be the closure of a near to match existing building.
Yeah, the height of the enclosure?
I'm sorry?
What the height of the enclosure will be?
6 feet.
All right, and what we're looking on there, what are we proposing in terms of lighting?
The lighting plan is sheet 10 of 12. This plan, which shows the lighting for the normal operations during the hours that the facility is open, and this lighting plan shows the lighting for just the security lighting for after the facility is closed. We did get the review from your lighting consultant today, and I believe your engineer also brought up the fact that we have some spillage on the south side, and we've removed the parking from the south side of the building, so we'll be able to reduce the lighting in that area to make sure we don't get anything spilling over the property.
In fact, are we still going to have the... lighting poles there?
I think we'll remove the poles from the south side of the building. That'll be lit by bollards.
Okay. Question while you're on lighting, Mr. Harkin's report had a number of open issues there. Are you going to address all of the items in his report?
We would agree to address all the items in his report.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Does that mean that if the board is inclined to approve this, you're suggesting that a condition be imposed that you have to make revisions in accordance with all the comments. That's what you're saying?
That's correct. Okay.
All right. And you had heard that Mr. DiSapio, the hours, the most extended hours are 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. What are you, on the plans, is there a proposed time when security lighting would come up?
No, I would say the security lighting would go up 1 hour after closing. That would allow the workers to leave the building safely.
And then at that point, the security lighting would come on?
That's correct.
And would the security lighting be sufficient for maintenance and staff that would come in?
Yes, there'll be a fair amount of lighting right around the entrances. So if you had to go right up to the door, the far points in the parking areas would be quite dark.
Now, what about the landscaping that's been proposed?
We've hired a landscape architect because he's saving. We are going to revise the landscaping to address Jim's comments and, again, to address our movement of some of these items, such as the basin. And part of the reason we moved the basin is it gives more room to buffer the back and the side of the site. Quite honestly, we weren't aware of the housing development even being there until it came up in some of the comments. So we relocated some things to be able to provide additional buffering in those areas. And we'll agree to whatever
is in Jim's report.
That's correct. Or his next report based on what he sees now.
One of the things that Jim had raised, and I think it's kind of an open issue, so we can't discuss, is comment number 4 on page 2. He talks about
during his October 19th memo.
Yes.
A4 on page 2.
Yes. About the pedestrian access to adjoining properties. Was anything proposed, which I guess would be the sidewalk?
No, we're not opposed to it, but we didn't.
Right, but if you're saying that we take the condition satisfying his report, that would include item 4.
He says the board should consider if the application should. So we've kind of left it open.
So you want to hear from the board if they're interested.
Yeah, Jess, I don't know if you're familiar with that affordable project, whether they're going to have a sidewalk. I mean, if they don't, it would seem
to
have.
I think the person that has the most knowledge about that is sitting right next to us.
My understanding is that one, the affordable housing site will have sidewalks, and that there is a strong desire by the township to create and connect, property to
property. But across the sidewalk. Across the front.
Which would include this.
So. I don't see that as a problem.
Okay. So there, the board has its answer. We'll do that. Also, there was a comment in the same report that Jim had prepared about or calling out the fact that we have 2 monument signs proposed along the driveway, correct?
Where is that?
His comment would be B1 on page 3.
Got it.
All right, and upon reflection, what is the applicant decided?
This is June, October
19th. Okay. All right. So, what sign are we going to keep?
We're going to keep the north sign.
Which page of the plans are you on, please?
We're on sheet 3 of 12.
3 of 12. Okay, thank
you. You have 2 signs shown out near the entrance. Previously, they were shown inside the easement for the water line that goes along Route 31 and cuts back out. We've moved them back to the 24 feet off the right-of-way.
Right.
And we're going to remove the southern sign. We're going to take that one. Just leave the northern sign.
I see. So
to eliminate, hopefully eliminate a barrier.
All right. And all of these, the lighting fixtures in the parking lot, the question was raised about whether they're all dark sky compliant.
Yes, they're all LED, which are directional lighting, and they're all they're 2,700 degrees Kelvin, which is the more yellowish color. As you go up, they get wetter, and then eventually almost a blue. So we're staying on the low end of that, which seems to reflect less than the higher temperatures.
And the height of the poles, what are all those lights put at?
The poles are 10 feet, and the pole is set 2 feet up on the concrete here, so it's 12 feet off the ground.
Right. And I think, do you know what the ordinance allows up to?
I believe it allows 18 feet.
Okay. So we've tried to minimize the height of these.
That's correct. And then by lowering it, that stops the spillover.
And the fixtures themselves, I mean, we describe downward facing.
Yeah, downward facing. But again, they're LED, so they're directional.
Now, Jim in his report had a number of other comments, swapping out some of the species of landscaping, the inclusion of additional trees because the trees were taken out. Is there any objections to what he presented in his report on October 19th?
No, my only comment would be that we did take the bioretention basins out from between the parking areas, which it was just a very tight area to try and get them in. And these were both bioretention basins. And by separating the flows, just the building flow goes to this basin, and then all the surface, roadway surface flows goes to the bioretention basin, which needs to treat the runoff of the motor vehicle surface. And we've also added more pervious pavement, which also reduces our need to use the bio basin. So we have one smaller bioretention basin now, whereas before we had four smaller.
Now, speaking of those basins, the basins in the back, there's, I think, all of the board's professionals have raised some questions about, there's a 3-foot retaining wall there, and doing something to make sure nobody can fall off that. What are you proposing there to prevent or to address those issues?
We would propose a posted rail fence. They're not high walls of 3 to 4 feet, but yet they do require a fence. So we believe a post and rail would be most attractive in this situation.
The post and rail would like a
black wire.
Black wire. Because if it's just post and rail, they can go through. Can you put black wire on it?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Is there a curb or anything that would prevent vehicles from?
I mean, there's curving there, and then there's there is a curving, and then there's approximately another 2 feet before you get to the wall. So they have to hop the curb, not the fence down. It could happen. I mean,
well, if it does, they at least get medical care right away.
And there wouldn't be an appointment in the urgent care.
I mean, if they really think you need some sort of timber guide rail, we can do it.
I'm just
asking.
You're getting out of my lane.
And by the way, this facility is going to be serviced by public water and sewer?
That's correct. Bob Benbrook made his deal for the easement, with the water company, he made sure that they would supply a free service to any future building on the site. And
doesn't surprise me.
No.
Yeah.
And also, Mr. DeSapio has purchased the sewer line for quite a sum of money also.
Mm-hmm. Also doesn't surprise me.
So, yes, we serve high public sewer and public water.
Have you been in contact with the sewage authority?
Yes. only just provide them with the request for service that we have not heard anything.
I assume that the sewer is being purchased by a private entity and not from the sewer authority, am I correct?
That's correct.
You understand what I'm saying?
But it would be served by the sewer authority, so they'd have to be aware of it and approve it.
Correct.
You know how many gallons all fit?
I think it's right around 3,000 to 3,200 gallons, whatever the requirement is for the square footage of the building.
Jeff, is there any pump stations required on this? Where the sewer?
It's going to have to be a pump, because it's a force main in front of it, so we're going to have to pump into the force main.
Right, so the sewer authority would.
Yeah, although there's going to be quite a bit of involvement in it.
Right.
Okay. We do have two manhole locations in front of the site where they have the blow offs now, so that's where we'll access the main pump.
Yeah, they're not engaged yet. I'm on the sewer authority.
Are you talking with any adjacent property owners about potentially both going in on a sewer pump station, or are you planning your own?
No, it'll be a private one, just for our facility. Yes.
Have you had that discussion, though, with any adjacent property owners?
You may want to, is all we're saying.
The issue is that there's a number of sites on that side, Route 31, that will all, if each one has its own individual facility, will have to go under the highway, and it seems to make more sense to get.
No, it's on our side of the highway.
What's that?
It's on our side of the highway.
It's the
sewer infrastructure? The fourth main is. I'm pretty sure that we opened those manholes up, and
that's right.
Do you know, Dan?
Goes under.
Iron,
it was under down Halstead.
But either way,
it'll work.
We'll either be born under the highway. Or
you should check it out, though, because you might, again.
Might want to work with the sewerage authority engineer. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not speaking on behalf of the board or the township or anyone. I'm just saying it might, if it gets to the point where the board is inclined to grant this, it could save your client a bunch of money if he goes in with a bunch of other property owners on one pump station rather than everyone having their own pump station.
All right. I guess we probably should appear at the next sewage authority meeting.
Thursday.
Well, wouldn't the only one that would be the affordable project?
I mean,
I would say all properties would benefit that are on that side of the highway because they all have the same issue with having to connect across the highway.
There might be some that would be more interested in doing this now rather than later.
I'm just thinking that the property owner to the north of us, which is a competing.
Right, they might not be.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be.
Right.
Well, they have a large septic. If you see all these clean outs all out here,
we know that they were approved by this board.
I mean, we can continue to ask. I know the board's professionals haven't.
Because if you're going to have your own pump station, it's going to have to be shown on the plan, and then there's an ordinance which basically says that underground facilities, with only a few exceptions, have to comply with setbacks, and you might need a variance for that also. You should just check that out because right now nothing's shown on the plan. And for preliminary site plan, you don't have to prove permittability, but you have to prove feasibility. So you should do some homework on that.
They do show the pump station on the plan.
Yeah, we do.
Where is it?
Which plan, Larry?
If you look at sheet four, there's a small circular pump station just between the road and the handicap parking stalls.
Yeah, right in front of the 45-degree parking spaces.
And do you know how many feet setback from the property line that is?
It's not within the 40-foot front yard setback, so they're not in the setback.
Okay. So it's just a potential savings, then.
Yeah. We would take it under advisement, certainly. Yeah. So if board members, I mean, I think Mr. Simons has indicated that, you know, the comments raised by your board's professionals
could all be conditions of an approval before it got there. That's what you're saying, correct?
Exactly. Well, could I ask this?
If they want questions, they
can. Sir, you said you were going to address 80% of what was in Larry's report.
That's what I have done already.
Oh, okay. Are there any items in his report that you have a problem with?
No. It's just that there were time constraints. That's the reason we didn't try to do all of it.
Okay. Larry, do you have some specific questions or points you'd like to make?
Just that we did receive the plan. We did try to go through it to verify what comments were addressed, and I think that's accurate. For the most part, they have addressed our comments. Some of the big ones that are hanging out there are stormwater related. There's a lot more soil testing that's going to be required, and this ties back into the existing on-site soils. There's a concern for sinkholes and karst landscape. I know Mellick and Tully did a phase one report, and their recommendation was to do a phase two. That would change, I think, some of the design approach if the geotechs recommend avoiding recharge or infiltration. Right now, the BMPs, it's my understanding, it's you've got porous pavement and you've got bioretention that's relying on infiltration. Again, I know this is preliminary, but it's something that when it comes around to final, we might see some changes in the approach to meet stormwater requirements.
Right. Hey, Larry, did you have a copy of Matt Mulhall's email? It's actually dated today, 4:17 p.m.
Yeah, it came out late in the afternoon, 4:17 p.m.
Do you have that?
Yeah, I just got that, yeah.
Okay.
I saw that. I mean, we also commented, I put a comment in there about the geological report indicating limestone that was encountered on site and that the applicant providing testimony of the concern for sinkholes. And just the fact that we've got this karst landscape, again, knowing it's preliminary, we don't have to get into the weeds for a design, but this is the type of thing that could alter the design approach and change the way they're going to approach compliance with stormwater. Other than that, I know we talked about guide rail. That wasn't my report. I think Tom brought that up. We mentioned putting guide rail along the retaining wall for vehicles just to be safe. We touched on the circulation element, considering more of a regional circulation with the sidewalks. I know that the town has a commitment to ensure sidewalks down from the affordable housing down to Holstead. So it's in the benefit of the municipality to ensure we do get some type of sidewalks on site. Other than that, I think we talked a little bit more about that small sub-regional approach for sanitary collection and conveyance. I know that Mont McDonald also does the work with CTSA, so I can reach out with the engineers over there to see what their thoughts would be. The only consideration would be if you've got a pump station now that's receiving flow from multiple sites, it becomes more of a public facility, not necessarily a privately owned facility.
That's true.
Does that influence our approval in some way?
Not necessarily, because I deferred under my administrative policy sections for final, further detailed review of the application at time of final. I deferred for offsite sanitary to be subject to review and approval of CTSA. So I think I've got enough in my preliminary report to ensure we'll have a detailed review come final.
Okay.
Okay, and we are proceeding with the phase two carbonate rock. And this was not a surprise. Not getting it was a surprise, but the contents of it, we have no objection. We had anticipated having to do this anyway.
Right, because it was all laid out in the Mellick-Tully report, sort of the same point.
Exactly.
Yes, right. Okay.
Thank you.
Do board members have any questions? I mean, we covered a lot of ground there, right? Landscape, lighting, yeah. Engineering.
I do have one question.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
On page 3 of Larry's report, not your pitch, of his report, item number 11. I guess I'm a little confused. The 21.3 foot distance from proposing drive aisle. Has that been changed?
Yes.
I didn't understand that.
Right. This drive aisle to on the south side was to what it curved out a little further. We had parking diagonally
right.
in the building. And what we do is remove the parking, move the drive aisle in. And now, questions.
Yeah, Tom, that was a part in the parking and drive aisle requirements. So it was a minimum setback from a property line. And it was 25 feet, and the aisle was within that 25 feet.
So now, and it's now 26 feet.
Yeah. Did you hear that? Now it's 26 foot, so that's really not an issue.
Yeah, we've got that crossed off. I have a kind of a markup, an internal markup we did of the report number one that's been issued, and that was crossed off our list.
Okay, thank you.
From an impact on lighting perspective, what type of landscaping are you looking at on the south and primarily the east that would impact residential areas?
Actually, on the south, we have a pretty good stand of existing pine trees that show up very well. But they're obviously a lot bigger than them that show on the plan. They're pretty substantial. So that part is pretty substantially screened. So, and again, as we move the roadway away and the detention basin, the fire retention basin away, that gives us, I would say, from 10 to 40 to 50 feet more area to landscape between the adjoining properties and our site.
Is that going to be sufficient to block any light overflow to the residences?
Yeah,
they're quite a ways away.
Right, and we're going to move the lights from here since we don't no longer need to brightly light those parking areas. We just need to light the walkway coming down here, and we'll do that with smaller lighting, the 3 foot, and we'll take those poles out entirely, so that'll stop that. And they're also providing quite a fair amount of landscaping. That'll also minimize the impact.
Just on the township's tree replacement ordinance, and conservatively, what are we looking at in terms of the number of trees?
Depending on the size, from anywhere from 100 to 200 trees we're going to have.
So, I mean, and my point is then you could locate perhaps with Jim's assistance, putting a lot of those trees over there to provide or enhance that existing buffer area, correct?
Yes, and quite honestly, what I'm going to propose to our landscape architect that he meets directly with Jim, and they can resolve this, I think, much easier that way than go back and forth.
Right.
So the tree placements can't count as the buffer, but it can if you can add them to the buffer. We just have to replace them. That's in addition to the buffer.
Yeah.
You also mentioned that you've eliminated loading docks, or you're not going to have loading docks?
It's ISMS, not just loading docks. There's no loading spaces, and I know that Tom has a bunch of questions he wants to ask him about that.
Oh, I'll let you ask that.
Okay. Well, if we're there, one question pertains to medical waste. Yeah, typically, these types of uses, there's regular pickup of those.
They'll be van size. So my understanding from St. Luke's is they really don't have anything larger than the van or the
how about FedEx trucks?
FedEx.
So are they going to pull into parking spaces or just pull in the front of the building?
Just like they do everybody else. Most of the time they park out on the road and carry this stuff.
Yeah, but they can't. This is Route 31.
I understand it. But
right, that's why we're asking.
Yeah, but we have sufficient parking spaces at times FedEx can come in and park in the parking space.
Which they probably won't do anyway. They'll just
in front of the building.
I understand. That is why that our planner is recommending that they have a loading and unloading space, a designated space, so they don't do that.
The problem is your ordinance says we have to have the rear. You can't have a loading space in the front, right? So,
How many fronts do you have?
Well, we have three entrances.
Right.
But one front.
Right.
One
but maybe you could pick one that complies with the ordinance and not have the issue of having these deliveries. That's what Tom's coming from.
I'll be honest, I don't think we're ever going to be able to force FedEx and all those to go back to the loading space and park. They're going to pull out there under the awning as quick as they can get in the building now.
Well,
But
that's not an acceptable answer, Ms. Kelly.
If you want to put a spot down and have it there that nobody will use, that's fine.
No, but there's going to be a condition, and if there's an approval, there's going to be a condition that's going to have to be used, or you're going to end up having a zoning enforcement issue. I know the zoning officer.
It's going to be sitting in a tree looking to see if the Amazon guy doesn't go in.
If you don't have a spot, they're never going to use it.
Right.
Because you don't have one.
Well, that's what I said.
But if you have one, at least you have the opportunity that they're going to use it, and you can enforce it by having a sign there that says that they need to use it. I mean,
that's fine. We
don't need a pole.
Yeah, well, you don't want it. It's just be a regular parking spot.
Or a double
parking spot.
Whatever would accommodate it, that adds truck. I don't think you need to accommodate traffic. I think the board's concerns are legitimate.
Oh, and I don't mean to make light of it. I'm just saying
it
that
sounds
they'll
like
never.
You are, though.
But no, I'm just saying the reality of it is they don't. Like, you know. We have the problem in my office building. They park right in front. Clients can't get in.
It's an aisleway, and they run the stuff in.
That's what we're trying to avoid.
Well, maybe it's different depending on where you are. Katy Main Street and West Orange don't do that. The police department,
they go to wherever you put the
medical
waste.
If they see something like that, they call over, and a patrol car comes over and gives the guy a ticket.
If you put it in front, they're still going to pick it up. That's what you stop in front. If you put it where
the spot designated money.
Yeah. I'm going to drop off at 12 of those facilities tomorrow.
Charlie,
have a
question?
Let me ask you this. Because you have three entrances,
I would suggest that
just put it in the front.
Put it in the front. We have room out there
propose something.
We're the most likely to use it if we put it in the front. So, yeah, that's right.
And maybe you need a variance to put it in the front, but maybe that makes sense.
No, I think we. I don't think we need a variance.
Or maybe
we do. It has to be in the back.
Right. But whatever relief you need, whatever relief you need for it,
that's fine.
You have a good reason for the relief. if it increases the chances that it's going to be used, and these delivery places don't take over your parking and your aisles,
that's fine.
And maybe causes safety hazards.
Right. Correct.
Or traffic hazards.
Okay. Point made. Let's move on. So, do you have any questions?
I think the only question I had is. The difference in the parking demand for an emergency center, a MedEmerge, or, you know, an urgent center versus an appointment. Somebody using an urgent center might be there all day long versus somebody taking an appointment has got, you know, this time slot and this time slot. Is the parking numbers, is there any difference in that requirement? Is there any?
Not that I've seen this. We've sized it for medical office.
That's what I'm saying. I know there's two separate uses, primary uses listed, and one is ambulatory and one is medical office. And that was my question, because you could have 35, 40 cars parked there all day long. I don't know if any thought was given to that or any thought needs to be given to that.
The ambulatory care, I mean, this is kind of a unique use because the ambulatory care, I think our plan will testify, is a permitted use by itself. So, you know, we gave let's assume it's 60, is what Mr. DeSapio said. That's over a 12-hour period. The chances of all 60 people being there at one time is probably remote. And I think this. Sapio, you had some information on the appointment only, because I know one of the
board
come for. So, to the question of other patients coming in and out of their
regular
Monday to Friday.
Urgent care, they estimate about 30 to 35 patients a day. The total combined for the other, he said, definitely less than 30 to 35 per day.
So the ortho, the lab, that would be another
if it's less than 35, let's say it is 35.
I thought it was 30 to 45 people per day.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so you're saying that there could be up to another 30 people per day for all the other reasons combined?
Yeah.
So there would only be 30 appointment slots per day?
It would definitely be.
Because understanding, I really want to get down to it. I mean, like, Mr. Seppi, come forward. I mean, those other disciplines, besides forgetting the urgent care, they're not open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Right? So,
my appointment is staggered throughout the day.
I don't know if that helps.
I must have missed something. When he went, when you guys went over to St. Louis groups that are going to be located here, I didn't write down ambulatory care.
Well, that's the urgent care.
Ambulatory care is not urgent care.
All right. Well, then I apologize. But yeah, so
ambulatory care is that. Tom, what's the definition of ambulatory?
Well, there was a question as to whether or not the urgent care should have a different parking standard than the regular medical office. It so happens that the township has a definition of ambulatory care. So the question would be, does the urgent care facility qualify as an ambulatory care facility or not?
Could you say the question again, please?
So there's a question as to whether or not there should be a separate parking standard for the urgent care facility. And so when you refer to the township's parking standards, there are separate requirements for medical office uses, which obviously is a component of this is for sure.
Right.
And there's also the ambulatory care facility, which has a different, a higher parking standard. Right? So the question is, which use category does the urgent care facility fall under? Is it a medical office, or is it, does it fall under the ambulatory care? And again, there's a definition that talks about what ambulatory care facility is. I'm reviewing that now. I'm not sure I have that.
Okay, so what Tom is telling me and what their plan is telling me, will be telling you shortly, is they believe urgent care is ambulatory care. Okay. So the issue is, there are separate parking requirements for ambulatory care, and they're both looking to see if there is.
And that's how you calculated the number of.
There's one space for every 150 square feet of medical office, and then ambulatory care is two for each recovery bed or treatment room, whichever, for each employee on the shift with the greatest number.
Now that suggests, you know,
so what
there's no beds here, you know, so it's just their
treatment rooms. So have you done the calculation using the
medical office, and I think when I did it, that was the most conservative. But
when you come back, I don't think we're going to hit all your weaknesses tonight anyway. Why don't you do the calculation both ways?
Tom Behrens, you said there's a definition for ambulatory care?
Yes, there is.
I don't see it in our definitions. Is it here and I'm not seeing it?
65-4. Yes, 65-4. Ambulatory care facility.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yeah, he said when they come back with a calculation looking at it both ways.
Okay.
We have to back that square footage for that out.
Right.
And do it.
It was a good question.
It was a very good question.
Yeah.
I never asked that.
Cindy.
For having asked it.
Harper in the fourth.
Yep.
Thank
you.
I don't know if anybody has any more questions.
Sir, do you have any questions you'd like? And if so, come on up forward and identify yourself. This would be a great time. They covered a lot of ground. So
I appreciate it because I don't have too much experience with this.
Yeah, no, have a seat.
Yeah, it's Mike Amberger.
And how do you spell your last name?
A-M-B-E-R-G-E-R.
And what is your address?
39 Riverbend Road.
Okay, so this is questions only.
What's that?
This is questions only at this point. You ask as many questions you want. If you want to make statements, it'll be a later time for that.
Sure. And basically, my primary focus is just on
to the applicant. Go ahead. Ask him whatever.
My primary focus, and I don't mean to be a pain, but
you're no pain.
No, 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 this is why you're here.
Yeah,
go right ahead and ask whatever you want.
Knowing the pain who comes to ask questions.
And this would seem to be an easy fix if it's not already incorporated, but there's several houses on the river that are just east of the proposed area, and it's a pretty pristine hillside with wood and whatnot, not too much lighting, and there's going to be a lot of building going on that hill, including this. So whatever can be done to angle that lighting away from those houses, whether it be angled lighting or incorporating evergreens or something like that.
We are screening the rear of the lot also, and we're also leaving a lot of the large trees that are rental on the property that we're not touching now. And again, there's some large trees joining the property that we won't touch.
Ask Larry if he can hear what this witness is saying.
Larry, are you hearing this?
Yeah, the discussion is for lighting and trying to make it directed downward to avoid the glare from across the river.
Yes, River Bend Road. That's correct.
Yep.
No, I didn't have any issues with them with anything. Really. So it's just
keep on going. Talk to you guys nice and loud.
Okay. I mean, we'll take another look at the lighting, see if we can reduce it some in the back. We still have to meet certain standards. Again, we're looking at our trees in the back, too.
Yeah, you can just, it's no difference to you. You can strategically.
Right. No, we have to add a lot of trees.
Because a lot of the trees, it looks like there's a lot of trees between the river and your property, but I believe a lot of those are ash trees that are now dead. So they don't have leaves or anything on them anymore, so it's kind of a barren, to an extent, a little bit more barren than you than if you look at an aerial photograph.
Okay.
Sir, can you point out on his key map approximately where you are?
Where is
this? Is Route 31. Here we are. This is that new housing thing.
So unfortunately, we're right behind this and the new housing.
Okay.
So I'm right here.
So you're on the east side of the river, it looks like?
I am on the east side of the river.
Okay. Elevation-wise?
I'm lower than this is. Because we're right on the river, and then this is up on a hill.
He's at least 40, 50 feet.
40, 50 feet. So any trees can be pushed.
That's why you'd have to be up high
up on a hill, or else you're going to have it on a hill and then on a post. So it's going to be whatever it is, 60 or 70 feet above where we are. So, and then again, not that this has any bearing, but we're already going to be dealing with this building. And I've got this, and then I heard there's some potential talks about this. So at a certain point, it's going to look like Times Square, which is exactly why we moved out here to avoid that.
And we can lower, we can move the lights back a little bit and lower them some, maybe a 10-foot height, and that'll help.
So that's really my idea.
Any other questions? Or okay, thanks. Anyone else have any questions for Mr. Simmons? Okay.
All right.
You want to go one more witness?
Yeah, well, we'll go into
before you start the testimony, background, experience, license.
Yeah, so Bachelor of Architecture degree from Ball State University, licensed architect in the state of New Jersey for the past 24 years, and now owner of SSB Architects. Testified in front of planning boards and zoning boards throughout the state, everywhere from Washington, here for the planning board, Flemington, Somerville, Bridgewater, a number of other places.
And your license?
Current license, yes.
I don't have anything further.
Okay. Any questions? No? Okay.
Why don't we get right into it, what's proposed, and...
And I'll speak to some of the uses within the space, within the building as well. So what you have is the floor plan. Route 31 is across the top of the page, with the first floor on the left, second floor on the right, main entrance. And as far as the uses are concerned, on the north side of the first floor.
Let's make sure that what you're showing is what's in the board's
file. So the floor plan that you see is exactly exactly as we have that was submitted.
Okay, so that's dated November 17, 2022? And it consists of sheet AO1 and AO2.
And I have AO2 here just in case as well.
Great.
I will probably be referencing some color renderings.
Okay, so that's going to be not the exhibit
A4. This will be A4.
Yeah, could you put it down in the lower right-hand corner, right?
Oh, you know
what? I'm on the other case. A1.
So that's a colored rendering. And that doesn't correspond to any of the architectural plans that have been submitted thus far, correct?
It's not a colored version of the plan you submitted. It's a color rendering, correct?
It's a color rendering representing the elevations
of the building.
Of the building, as they were submitted, yes. So this is just a different version, colored, three-dimensional view of the elevations. So on the first floor plan, again, draft 31 across the top, right side of the first floor, north end, closest to the parking lot, is basically open space for physical therapy. That entire side is reserved for physical therapy, mostly open space for all the workout equipment.
Okay, so you know what? Hopefully, do you have something you're going to hand out that will show this?
Well, I can. This is very small right now, but we can.
Okay, why don't we, after you testify, let's get that marked as an exhibit and then ask Mike.
We can get it submitted large.
An understanding of the preliminary, this could the interior.
Correct. The reason it hasn't been submitted is because we're still working through a lot of it.
Right.
So essentially, you have physical therapy on this side. On the left south side of the first floor is reserved for the primary care area. And then there's a small area close to the entrance that's reserved for the laboratory, basically blood, draw, and other collection of specimens. On the second floor, the side closest to the parking lot is what we have reserved as what they call care now. That's the urgent care that we've been discussing, as well as some staff and break areas. And then on the south side of the second floor, that's what we have reserved as orthopedics. And there's a small area within orthopedics that's reserved, what they call brown bag. It's a few small exam rooms that are reserved for rotating doctors. You know, they have a doctor that comes in twice a week. That's where he might be located.
Just a quick question. Why would they have urgent care on the second
floor
and not on the first?
That's a good question. That was discussed quite extensively with them. I think it comes to a little bit more to how they want to serve their clients. But that's what... We had it on the first floor originally, but as we were going through the plan.
Someone comes in with a broken leg.
Took one up to the second floor.
Elevator,
Okay, whatever. Right. You got PT on the first floor, correct? That's where it belongs.
I think that may be a problem because those are the two biggest areas, and you try to get them both on the same floor.
There, at one point, there was this, not to get into the weeds with it, but there was a point where the urgent care and the ortho were going to try to share a radiology because there are x-ray rooms there. So because they were looking to share right now it looks like there might be two separate ones, but having radiology together, that's part of what drives it upstairs as well. A lot of factors come into play, as you can imagine. So that's what's going into the building in terms of uses.
And where would be on the first floor? Where are the entrances again?
So this is the main entrance, again, along Route 31. This is the area that has the pull-up, the driveway and the drop-off area. There's another entrance in the back. Now, we keep talking about three entrances, but the door that's over here on the parking lot side coming out of physical therapy is really more of an exit. Not really intended to be a place where patients are coming in. They do want to try to encourage people to come in the front door, go through registration, and get into physical therapy that way. But it's intended more as an exit, though, in certain different situations, it could easily be used as an entrance as well. So,
okay.
So then I know there are a number of questions about the building height. I'll put this one up here for now. But the building height,
A1.
This is A1, yeah. So
between these two. The overall building height, what we're trying to do with the overall building, instead of it being just a box, is really try to kind of follow the guidelines that you've established in terms of the building design and create some wall and roof articulations, right? Get that rural feel and get that using the materials that represent kind of the feel of Clinton. So we have stone, we have brick, we have, you know, hardy siding. It's more of a cementitious, but it represents that wood siding, right? Asphalt shingles, metal roof, all those things that comply with the ordinance in terms of design standards. But we also didn't want to have just one single overall roof height. And because the floor-to-floor height gets us pretty close to that 35-foot limit as it is, it really gets us to 30 feet just there, we needed to have some height to get a substantial roof on there, one, so it's properly proportioned to the rest of the building, two, so it screens the mechanical units, and then three, complies with the design standards that say you have to have a 9-on-12 roof pitch. So all those things came into play in terms of establishing that height. Now, the lower sections that you see all fall within the 35 feet. This entrance piece is set at 35 feet. It's these other peak areas that really go above that 35 feet, or right around 40 feet for the peak of those high points.
Question for you. Presumably, you're going to end up making the argument that this looks better than a complying roof.
Correct.
Can you show us, assuming we don't finish tonight, which I don't think we will, could you do a rendering that would show us what a complying roof would look like? It's easy to make a comparison. If you see them side by side, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, that one looks better. It's harder to make that determination when I don't see what I'm comparing this to.
We can do that.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question? You referenced the maximum roof height of 40 feet. So the elevation show 44.6.
That was from the time that was originally submitted and seeing the original comments about the building height, we were able to lower it so that the peak is actually 40.1 feet above grade, above the average grades.
Is that represented in the elevations or the rendering?
Both.
Yeah, there was revised architect.
Yeah, this is the revised. Yeah. That was recently, yes.
And where's the mechanical sections going on in the roof?
The mechanical section would be behind this section of the roof. So you have
that's center area, basically.
That's center area, correct.
Okay. Not in the peaked area, though.
Not in the peaked area, correct. So just briefly looking at the plan, you know, the peak areas would be here and here. The mechanical units would be centered around the floor.
Just for the record, so if the peaks are 40.1
is what we've calculated. 41 above grade, yes.
Divided by 41 comes out to a little over 14% or 15%. That's why you need a D6 height variance. It's exceeding the maximum 35 feet by more than
10%.
10%. Got it.
And since you're doing something, revisions or reconsideration, what would be the percentage of the area of the roof that is over?
Yeah, we calculate that between 25 and 30%.
So you're only looking at 25 to 30% of the site being over. Building being
over. And Marcus, we did try to do some of that conforming.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. And that's what we really want to see.
Yeah, that's what we want to see. We weren't happy with it from an aesthetic standpoint. Right.
Yeah, but we've done some, so we can certainly present it to you, and you guys can, hopefully draw the same conclusions that we did.
And with your floor plan, we talked before about it, floor area, whatever, where would the hazardous material, the waste material be stored in the building? What doorway?
You mean for pickup, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, it's actually located towards the back entrance.
So it would be in the back. So if any place, it might be best to have this pull-out area that we're talking about, delivery or pickup in the back?
It could be two. There could be one area of the hazards and one area. Remember, your decision, not ours. But if you're trying to make an incentive or make it easier to have pickups and deliveries take place in a certain area, they might be right. The front might be better for that, but for the hazards, maybe you want another one in the back.
Those guys also aren't running in and running out. There's more protocol. So
correct.
They might be able to park in a space, but
they're going
to
get people around.
Jim Kyle stood up and testified about it. They're planners.
Queued up.
Oh, queued up.
Oh.
Queued
up. That's what he's afraid I'd say.
We don't have anything further on this. Obviously, Marcus will be back to present a conforming plan.
Just for the to clarify, not that it's a big deal, but the elevation views on the architecturals have an elevation of 39 feet 10 inches for the ridge.
And that was calculated based on finished floor. So once we take, the true definition of building height based on the average of the grade around the building, that's what gets us to the 40.1. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Larry, they recalculated. They realized they had made a mistake.
Well,
another way of saying
it. It's still 39 feet from the finished floor.
Okay.
Depends on how you calculate.
Questions?
Yeah, but I mean, you're talking elevations, not height, so that really shouldn't change, but okay.
Point noted, Larry. Thank you. Questions? Professionals? Sir, any questions? No?
Just two quick questions. So there's obviously no basement.
Correct.
And final site plan application on the roof plan showing the cabinet.
The roof plan, yes.
Okay, Nicole, set.
So this application, this hearing has to be carried. Now, how much time do you guys need to get all the information together that the board wants? Because you just heard there's an open meeting in December with no one
on the agenda. We'll be.
Right. We'll be able to, you need it by the 9th, before December 9th.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't,
December 19th, the board will have to, they have the 20-day rule, so you're going to ask the board to waive the 20-day rule and make, the MLUL 10-day rule. The board's rule is 20 days before the hearing, so that the board professionals have a shot at getting new reports rather than on the last day.
How many more? You've got Jim Kyle.
We probably bring Mr. Simons back to talk about the loading areas that we show on the plan.
Okay.
And then Marcus would have to come back to show a conforming architectural plan. And then it would be Mr. Kyle. So
three.
Yeah, three. Okay. The first two would be relatively short, I would imagine. And then Mr. Kyle would be at least 20 to 30 minutes. So
on direct, not on cross.
But figure an hour, maybe 90 minutes.
Well, put it this way: what's the other application that might be ready for December 19th? Is it residential?
No. Yes, isn't it?
No.
No,
okay.
It is not.
Okay. You guys know something that we don't know.
Well, Jim's involved in the other one.
Jim is the planner for that application.
Who is it? Which one?
It's a proposed.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
No, no.
Well, but are they complete?
No, but they're trying to be.
I understand, but this is a pending application.
Yeah, they have first bite of the apple.
Right. Well, yeah, they would be on first, but they may not be the application.
Yeah,
actually, it wouldn't matter whether they're
Right. This should, in my opinion, this should be continued December 19th without any further notice. They should be first on the agenda, and then the other applicant can make a decision if they want to hang around and see if they can get heard.
I mean, we waited an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I don't think there's fair any longer than that, honestly.
No one has ever come in their predicted time. No one has ever come in into their predicted time. Not once in 20 years.
That's not to say that.
Never once. Before you go, can we ask the board member?
I have one other thing. We talked about the parking, and I thought I missed something with the parking. So I looked back at the plan, and it's being calculated as professional office. And then the plan itself on the site plans calls it a proposed office. The architectural plan just called tenant space. The title block calls it tenant office building. So I think it was reviewed with parking, assuming it was an office. I mean, until we heard the testimony from the applicants that it was really a medical use. Even the application, I looked at the application form, and I think where it had
You may have missed that. We asked them to go back and take a look. Including the fact that some of this is ambulatory care. So they're going to go back and redo their calculations based on the square footage that will fall into each use. So I think they've got that point.
Well, I think the engineer said that he calculated it with medical. We were going to do a cross comparison, but I think it's not. I think it was calculated with professional office. And again, the prison. Okay.
Think it was calculated with medical office? Is that what he's saying?
Yes, he thinks it was calculated as general office. Is that correct, Larry?
If I'm looking at the plan that's submitted, it's 4.5 spaces per 1,000 square feet, which is professional office. I don't
What is medical called for?
One per 150 square feet.
Yeah, so it's going to change things. That's all I'm saying. It's going to be, we have to kind of take another look at it from an engineering perspective of what it's going to do for some of the layouts and the impervious coverage and the increase in parking.
Okay.
I just want to put that out there. I mean, I thought I missed something. I'm looking at it. I think it was just some misinformation. It says proposed office, and it's really not your traditional office.
What it comes down to is looking at the disciplines we talked about and almost giving me a calculation on...
For each discipline, by square feet. Yeah.
Because I don't know if you have something for lab, but the lab is not very big, and usually you don't have five people waiting to get blood at the same time.
Okay.
But we'll do that calculation. That's not fine.
Okay. You have any questions for them next time? Heidi?
Good for now.
Yeah.
Good for now.
Okay. I have a couple for next time. So for Mr. Kyle, they're asking some questions about the justification for floor area ratio. How come you can't meet the floor area ratio requirement? And sign, looking for more signs on the face of the building, what will the justification for that be? Why not just meet the sign ordinance? I'm not asking you to testify now. I'm just saying when you come next time, I don't want to get you started because it's good.
I just want to say one thing. We're actually going to defer the sign package to final because what you see on the plans now is not the actual sign package.
So don't be surprised. Let's say if the board got to that point of being inclined to grant this, they might very well impose a condition that the signs have to comply with the ordinance if you're going to take that position, if you push it off the final. Because generally, it's one thing to bifurcate the variance,
right.
But it's another thing to, you get vested rights with the preliminary.
Right.
And they're going to, if you don't come in and show your cards on that and put that off for final, you might get a condition with an approval where you can't get any variance. Just putting it out there.
Okay, well, I'm glad I raised it then, because it might be that we try to get the sign package straightened out and submit it so that you can see what it is.
Yeah,
okay.
They have a couple, lighting, you're hitting them all.
I know.
I
mean, that's why we eliminated the monument sign when it was raised. But we'll address
take that under advisement.
Okay.
Anything else? Yeah. So the hearing on this application is going to be continued December 19th at 7 p.m. in this room. And we're going to ask, just in case we need it, to get an extension of the time to January 31st.
That's fine.
Okay, and Larry, you have anything else?
Yeah,
No, I'm surprised no one asked what happened to me. I guess no one cares.
I want to know, Larry.
All right. Now they're raising their hands. Go ahead, Larry.
Broken leg, surgery, plate, screws, the whole nine yards. John could vouch for bicycle accidents. Went down, bone pretty much knocked him out of the skin, but pretty much there. So I cannot drive. It's the right foot. I can't do anything for 8 or 9 weeks. I'll be out a while.
So you're going to be virtual in December also?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Same thing we're doing right now. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Probably in January, too.
And John, did you?
My suggestion is we have a member of the public out there. If you have any questions that you're still thinking about that you want to tell them about, they could prepare an answer for you before December 19th.
Just the lighting.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Larry, we're signing off. Take care.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Good night.
I'll see you on the 19th.
Yep.
Yep.
Good night.